Father in heaven, we pause as we approach the sacred desk, for we need and want and pray to see Jesus and to hear him. So speak through me, in spite of my faults and shortcomings, Lord, so that when we leave, we're not the same as when we came, because the Holy Spirit was present. So bless now to this end, and may you be honored. In Jesus' name, amen. I have three quick things to share with you. And that is, you know, some time ago we started a series called Who is a Faithful and Wise Servant? It's based on a text found in Matthew 24, verse 25. We're at the end of that important chapter 24. Jesus says, who then is a faithful, wise servant who the Lord has made ruler over his household to give him meat in due season? And so this series is based on this goal. Read it with me at the bottom. We want to be a faithful and wise servant. Is that true?
Yes.
All right. But before we get started in what exactly that means, let's take a look at this. The setting of Matthew 24 is Jesus was leaving the temple and he just off the cuff said to his disciples who were admiring the beauty of this ornate temple, not one stone will stand upon another. They couldn't wait to get up and get alone with Jesus. And as soon as they did, they asked this question. They said, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming? And what will be the end of the age? So the following rest of the chapter deals with what topic? The last days of Earth's history. Don't miss that. So part one was entitled, A Faithful and Wise Servant Will Not Be
Deceived.
He won't be deceived. Now, why did I say that? Because if you read Matthew 24 carefully, you'll discover three times in that chapter, he repeats, do not be deceived. Now, if he repeats that three times, that tells me we better wake up. That means something's going on here. By the way, three times. This is the only thing he repeated three times in that chapter. Be not deceived. There will be false Christs and false prophets, and many will come in my name. And that deceived word is plenao, and it means cause to roam. It means from safety, from truth, from virtue. Check this out. Satan is harassing and on our cases so that we will roam from our safety, from our truth, from our virtue, go astray, deceived, err, seduced, wandered, be out of the way. Jesus, three times he said that. There's something else he repeated. In part two, we found out a faithful and wise servant is ready for the thief. Two times in that chapter, he tells us that he's coming as a thief in the night. No one knows when he's coming. Therefore, he said, watch therefore, for you do not know when your Lord is coming. Two times, watch. It's in verse 42. It's in verse 43. The Greek word is gregoreo, and that word means keep awake. Watch literally or figuratively. Be vigilant. Wake. Be watchful. Two times. And by the way, if you look at the slide closely, you'll see it's also in Matthew 25:13, and that's the famous Advent parable about the 10 virgins. When you get down to verse 13, it boils down to this. Jesus says, watch, for you do not know when the Lord is coming. Gregoreo. One more time he used gregoreo. That's of importance to us. It's Matthew 26:38. Anybody know where Jesus was when Matthew 26:38 happens? Garden of Gethsemane. He looked at his disciples and he said, stay here and watch. while I go over there. Gregorio. And so, my friends, you see how important this series is to us today. How pertinent it is. And notice that the series title is based on Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom the master made ruler over his household? And I underline the next part. You see, what's really interesting is in this verse that the whole series is based on, he defines what a faithful and wise servant. And he said, to give them food in due season. Pastor Ryan, would you come up here and help us to understand what did he mean by give them food in due season?
Thank you very much, Pastor Neary. Praise the Lord, everyone, again. I hope you have the Word with you. And we are going to look in the Word, and we are going to see what the Word has to say about what Pastor Neary has introduced. But before we get going, let's just bow our heads and have a little word of prayer. Oh, our Father and our God in heaven, we are promised that when we open your Word, the Spirit comes to us to work on our hearts and to give us understanding. Oh, Lord, I ask that you would hide Ryan and hide Peter. Lord, you yourself come and speak to us as we examine what the work of the church is and we get a clear understanding of what it is you want us to do. We get a clear understanding of your will. This is what we ask, Lord, willing to do whatever you say. This is what we ask. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, let everybody say, amen. We should still be in the book of Matthew. In chapter 24, set up just the way Pastor Neary described. They couldn't wait to get Jesus aside and ask him, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? And Jesus says a whole lot of interesting things in Matthew chapter 24. You can preach a whole series just on Matthew 24, but I'd like to begin reading verse 14. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, you all know this. Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall what, everybody? And then shall the end come. Do you see the work of the church? Do you see the work of the church? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Jesus is talking to us. Now let's go ahead. I have to turn the page and go down to verse 42. And I'll begin reading. Then Jesus says, watch therefore. He says, watch, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And then I'm going to jump down to verse 44. It says, therefore be ye also ready. And when he says that, we then get the third of what are three great admonitions that show up in chapter 24. The first one you can see in verse 4, where Jesus says, take heed. And then in verse 42, as we read, it says, watch. And now in verse 44, it says, be ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Talking to the church. Be ready, take heed, watch. And then we get to verse 45. And then we get to the crux of the matter. Jesus says, who then is a faithful and wise servant? We are servants, are we not? Whom do we serve? I'm sorry, do we serve the world? Whom do we serve? The Lord God. Jesus is our master. Who then is faithful to God? Whom his Lord, our Lord, whom we just verbalized, hath made ruler over whose house? It says over his house. Is it our house? Is it our church? Is it our work? No. It is the Lord's house, the Lord's church, the Lord's work, and hath made us faithful and wise servants, ruler over his household, to give them, and in the King James Version it says, meat in due season. What does it mean when it says the faithful servant gives them meat? It means it goes and gives them a Big Mac? What do you mean? Some chicken? What are we talking about? What is meat when the Bible says meat? Well, let's see if we can have a look at it. What did you say? I'm hearing the word of God. I'm hearing it. Meat, nourishment. What did Jesus say to Satan when Satan tried to make it all about the physicality and said, turn these stones to bread? Jesus said, man, woman shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? Every word, the word shall nourish. The word is meat. So let's put it in here. Let's put it in here. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them the word in due season? In the Revised Standard Version, it says to give them food when it's time. Is it time? Oh, it's time. Because there's a hungry world out there. We're talking about the work of the church. And Jesus describes what he calls a faithful and wise servant because the servant has given the word to the world by God's grace. That's our job. That is our job as the church. Well, actually, it gets a little deeper than that. Jesus then goes on to describe the evil servant. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Let's go ahead and break this down. Jump on down to verse 48. Here's a description of the evil servant. It says, but and if that evil servant... Here's the evil servant. We don't want to be one of those. But here's a description so you know. If that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. If the evil servant shall live as though the coming of Christ is not near. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. There was a lot in that last little verse. Let's go ahead and unpack it. Talking about the evil servant, the unfaithful servant, shall begin to smite. What does it mean to smite? To hit, to kill. You can read about unfaithful servantry in Ezekiel, beating and abusing the servants of God. Do you know there are people in the church who think their job is to criticize the people working in the church? That's their job, to make sure you're doing it right. I hate to break your heart. That is not a ministry. Oh, that's what the word says. Shall begin to smite and abuse his fellow servants. And here's one. And to eat. Eat? Remember, it said that the faithful servant feeds, but the evil servant consumes. Oh, can I tell the truth, Pastor Neary? I may as well. If you are coming into the church of God only to consume, bless me, feed me, give me, show me, satisfy me, and do not have the heart for feeding the word, that is not a ministry. Yeah, I said it. That ain't no ministry. Well, let's see what else the word says. To smite his fellow servants. We don't do that here. No. To eat only. No. We don't do that here. No. And then look at this. Oh, now we get deep. And drink with the drunken. Talking about the evil servant in the church. Drinking with the drunken. Let's go ahead and break this down. Keep your finger right there in Matthew 24. And turn with me to the book of Isaiah. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter, I believe, 29. And we're going to read verse 9. Talking about the unfaithful servant drinking with the drunken. What does that mean? What does that mean? And in the interest of time, let me go ahead and read. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 9 says, stay yourselves. Listen, let me calm down. I want you to hear this. Talking about being drunk now. Stay yourselves and wonder. This is Isaiah 29, 9 for those who are looking. Cry ye out and cry, they are drunken, but look at this, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. There's something else going on here when Christ talks about being drunk. He ain't just talking about drinking physical wine. There's something else that goes on here when one is an unfaithful servant. Well, let's get a clearer look. You can go ahead, keep your finger in Matthew 24, and let's flip on over to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 14, right here in the heart of a message that we call the three angels message. We're still talking about the drunkenness of the unfaithful servant. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 8, and this is what the word says. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations do what?
Drink
what? The wine of the wrath of her fornication. This is not intended to be a message on Revelation, but if you study, you will see clearly that what is being talked about there is a coming away of the true doctrine, and the world is drunk on a false doctrine, which means if you don't believe it is the job of the church to feed the world, that is drunkenness, that is false doctrine. That's what the word says. If you're not feeding, then you're drunken. That's some serious stuff right there. But I have good news. Not in paradise. By God's grace, not from any goodness of ours, but by God's grace, not in this church. I would like to familiarize you briefly with some of the things that we have going on here. The sole purpose being giving meat in due season. Well, let's see. First of all, I don't know if you are aware, but we have a cooking school. Part of our message is the health message. Amen? Whether you like it or adhere to it or not, the truth is the truth. Where's Brother Orville, also known as the boss of sauce? There he is right there. Is Sister Kim here in the room? Sister Kim is back here. They have continued the cooking school. We are filming it. We are putting it online. It is growing, and other churches are coming to our church to hear the word. Amen? Let's see what else we have going on. We have three Bible study classes that are group study classes here in the church. One of them meets on Wednesday night. Study the spirit of prophecy. One of them meets with Elder Ron. Where's Elder Ron? There he is. On Friday night, studies the spirit of prophecy, and the Ninja Evangelistic team is beginning a Bible study on Sabbath afternoons. Not every Sabbath afternoon. Where's Sister Stephanie? I saw her. Where's Brother Clemente? There he is. And I myself will be teaching certain topics, intensive Bible study on indicated Sabbaths, and also there will be the Super Friends. What and who are the Super Friends? The Super Friends are a group of dignified young people in this church that are so mad that I keep calling them the Super Friends. Pastor Johnson, that is not a thing. No, it's a thing. These are young professionals who have talent and skill, and they do a variety of things in this church, including preach the word. We've been hearing testimony and sermons from them for Vespers all throughout this month and last month and next month, you'll be hearing people like Brother Anthony in the Daniel series that Pastor Neary and I are putting on. But the point is, they are dedicated to feeding the Word. Amen? Here's what else we have.
We have a media outreach. Some of you do not know this, but I just recently finished.
Am I hearing something? What was that? Y'all heard that, right? That was it. Just finished production on a Revelation series that we sent to 3ABN. Pastor Neary is in there. The Lord is blessing our church. I'm almost done. We have individual Bible study. If you go into the conference room, you will see on the wall a board of all of our teachers and in the columns all of the individuals that they are studying with. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We have prayer sessions on Wednesday. I like to say that every day of the week somebody here is praying for the prayer requests. But on Wednesdays, we focus. We actually open up the books and offer to the Lord in prayer the names of people who have asked for special prayer requests and even some folk that didn't. Amen? This is our meager effort by God's grace to feed the Word to the world. We are actually restructuring the evangelism in this church to focus less on big, bald-headed people like me standing up preaching and more on Bible study and building relationships with people and studying the Word together by God's grace.
Amen.
That's feeding. I would like to leave you, now that we've talked about feeding, and we've talked about meat, and we've talked about the Word, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be what? That there may be meat in my house. Pastor Neary.
For giving us that clear and concise understanding, at least a part of the understanding of what it means, meat in due season. Remember, this text that we're looking at, Jesus asked the question, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the master made ruler over his household? By the way, household means the world. Did you know that? Oh, yes. To give them of the world, God's children everywhere, food in due season. And so I want to look at the text that was referred to by Pastor Ryan as he concluded. Take a look at Malachi 3:8, and I'm going to give you a twist to this. In Malachi 3:8, it is written, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but how have you robbed me? And Jesus said, in tithes and offerings. Say tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. He said in both of those. Now, I want to show you this so you can clearly see. That Hebrew word rob means to cover or defraud or to rob or to spoil. That God is telling us when we don't return a faithful tithe and support the local church, we are not feeding them the world in due season. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, tithe means a tenth, especially a tithe. Tithe is 10% of what you make. And do you understand that the tithe pays for the pastors around the world so that they can feed them worldwide in due season? Food. The gospel. Now here at Paradise, again, good news, Pastor. Paradise Church has been leading in tithe giving in this conference for years. Faithful people are paying tithe to the point where our church has more tithe than any other church. And this is absolutely important for a couple reasons. First of all, a tithe belongs to God. And it means that the Paradise Church members recognize that. And they're honoring and trusting God. But don't forget the offering. The offering is a present, especially a sacrifice or a tribute, a gift. That's also included. And God wants us to honor Him by being faithful in tithe and offering. I'm getting to the point and I'm almost there. But let's look at verse 9 first. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And I looked up that Hebrew word for curse, and guess what I found out? It means curse. And I think we all know what that means. That means that there's blessings that God wants to give our church that are not taking place when we don't return to Him a faithful tithe. By the way, we're also saying to God, you can't take care of us. I have to rearrange the money situation myself. The Bible says we're cursed. I don't want to be a curse. I don't want to be an execration. I looked up that word to, you know, I looked it up and I thought, well, I don't know what execration means. And I found out it means a thing held in abomination. An abomination is what sets itself up in the holy place in Revelation that destroys the church of God with false doctrine. But look at what it says in verse 10. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be what? Meat in my house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Do you believe that? First of all, please look carefully. He says all the tithe. Not a portion of the tithe, some of the time tithe, a little bit of the tithe. It says all the tithe. Bring all the tithe into my storehouse. A Hebrew word meaning depository, storehouse, treasure. It means the church. You're to bring the tithe to the church. And then that word meat, it means something torn, a flesh, leaf, prey, food, meat. I'm getting ahead of myself here, folks. I'm sorry. Supply with food. And now we know what food is, thanks to Pastor Ryan. Our job is to be faithful to God so there can be meat in due season that we can give to them of the household of God, which is the world. And then he says, prove me. Prove me, folks, to test, especially metal, to investigate, examine, prove, tempt, try, trial. Friends, because the tithe belongs to God, I'm begging you to be a faithful tithe payer because it honors God. When you do that, you're saying, I recognize you as my partner. And I want to be partner with you. God's saying something back, though. I'm going to show you in a second. I don't want you to miss this. He says, prove me. See if this isn't true. I dare you to do it. Even if you're in dire straits financially. I saw this on the internet. I don't like it at all. This is somebody or some group that are trying to say, don't tithe. And they illustrate it by a man starving to death, probably from a third world country, saying, you're feeding a fat preacher when you're doing this. I want you to know you're going to run into stuff like this, but folks, this is not accurate. The preachers are to be fed so that they can feed. And you know an army that has a hungry belly doesn't fight very good. And if we're going to provide meat in due season, then we have to have the resources to get the pastors to go out there, the missionaries to go out there, and to preach this beautiful message in the last days of Earth's history. And also, I want you to remember, if you don't give an offering, you're not supporting the church, and the church functions to do the feeding. And I just love it. You know, it's fair for everybody. God says that a 10% belongs to me. If you're very, very rich, it's only 10%. If you're very, very poor, it's only 10%. But I want you to know something. Talk to those who have a lot of money. And the more money they have, the harder it is to pay a tithe. But the offering goes to running the church. It has to stay viable. For our job is to teach. So let me show you why I have guts enough to preach this to you. The first reason is this. The tithe does not go to the church. Did you hear me? The tithe doesn't go to the church. The tithe goes to the conference. And the conference says some of it to the union. Send some of it to the division, send some of it to the general conference, and only tithe can pay for the salary of a missionary or a pastor. We don't keep the tithe. But I'm going to tell you this, and maybe I'm going to get hung, I don't know. Since the tithe belongs to God, I beg you to pay it, even if you don't pay an offering. But if you don't pay an offering, you're crippling the church. That's plain and simple. What's beautiful is God said 10% is great across the board. But the offering, the Bible says, give within your means. He leaves it up to you to decide. Here's another thing. First of all, the tithe is an indication of the spiritual tone of the Paradise Church. Actually, I misworded that. The tithe is an indication of the spiritual tone of any church. It tells about the people in the church. Do they really believe that God can take care of them if they're faithful to what God says? And I praise the Lord, like I said, that our tithe is the highest in the conference. But don't be too excited, because the number of people giving tithe even in our church is a dismal 23%. Folks, that's sin. That is. But go to point number one. I'm not begging you to be faithful to God in your tithe, because it gets to me. It goes to the conference. I'm begging you because it's us making the statements. We believe in a miracle. And that is this. If you're faithful in your tithes and offerings, you will see that God will bless you with what remains more than if you kept it all for yourself. Do I have to say that again? Do you understand what that means? God instituted this program of tithe and offering so that we can witness a miracle. Not only that, we are hedging against selfishness. Every time a check comes and you look at that check, you think of your tithe, you think of your offering. And you'll probably, if you're like me, go, boy, what could I do with that money? And then I go, nope, belongs to the Lord. He's been good to me. I may not have all the wonderful things in life, but I have the Lord. Unfortunately, in the Paradise Church, the offerings are not good at all. I hate to tell you how many people, even that tithe, don't give a nickel to the offering. Do you remember our treasurer stood up here 2 weeks ago and said, if everybody gave $5. By the way, that isn't good stewardship, because some of you could give $500. Some of you could give $5,000. But for those that only can give $5, it's really important. Let me show you how important it is. Sweetheart, will you come up here? I want to show you this. Sweetheart, I'm hungry. This is the first Sabbath in 2 months, 1 month, that my wife has wore shoes. She broke her toe. So come on up here, dear. I'm going to drop this stone on your toe. Come here. Okay. Can I drop it on your toe? Why not? I break your toe. What did that toe do to your life for a whole month? That little tiny unimportant toe? That's not the brain. That's not the heart. That's not the lungs. You won't let me break your toe?
No.
Why not? It hurts. You have a hard time. That little toe, folks, affected the whole body. And when you do not give anything to offering, you're affecting the body of Christ. So it can't do the work. Go ahead, dear. I know you don't like being up here. And if you think I'm asking for money, then you don't know me very well. Jenny and I have always paid a tithe and an offering, and we always will, because God has been more good to me than I could ever pay Him back. And I invite you to think on these principles so that we can feed more of them. Pastor, come on up here.
Human hair, which I don't seem to have. I mean, any hair. Any hair. It's like I have bear hair, wolf hair. Human hair is made of a protein called keratin. And keratin is also the protein that makes up the fingernails, and a part of the epidermis, which is the outer layer of the skin and some other stuff. Hair grows at about 0.4 millimeters a day, a little bit less than half a millimeter. But it grows faster in your fingernails, which only grow at about 0.1 millimeters every day. The fastest growing hair on the human body is facial hair, for those of us that have beards, and we know how often we have to shave. But the hair on your head grows at about 0.4 millimeters. It's not very strong if you have just one strand. It's easy to break. But surprisingly, when you bind it together, hair is incredibly strong. Man, there's a sermon in there somewhere, but we ain't got time to go there. I was interested in what it is that hair can absorb. Hair can absorb oils, a little bit. The oils do not actually soak into the hair, but it can coat the hair, make it nice and shiny. In fact, the sebaceous glands in your scalp produce natural oils. And when you brush your hair, those of us that have hair, you bring that oil down onto the shaft of the hair and you get that shine, that lustrous shine, all kinds of hair there is. But if you put oil on the hair, it can get in there into the cracks of the hair on a microscopic level, but it doesn't really absorb it. Now, water, on the other hand, hair can absorb up to 41% of its weight in water. It can soak some water up. So I'm thinking about this oil and water mixture that was present on the day Jesus was sitting at Simon's house. Bible says a woman, Mary, who had been forgiven many sins, had made a great sacrifice and had purchased a perfume that comes in an oil form. What's the name of that perfume? Who knows? No? Spikenard. And they keep the spikenard in an alabaster box. Alabaster is a lot like marble, but it is not marble. Back in those days, shipping it was much more expensive than it is now. But even now, I saw that a pound of spikenard can be bought for about $1,300. It had to be shipped from Egypt or even India or even parts of China, pressed, processed, put into this alabaster box and sent to Mary. And she had it. And the spirit of prophecy said she had heard Jesus say that he was going to be killed. And she believed him. And had the gift for the purpose of anointing his body. But then they were talking about making him king. And she, not understanding, was rejoicing and thankful for everything that Jesus had done for her. And not wanting to cause a commotion. Not wanting to attract attention to herself, see. While they were having dinner and discussing the theological things, she quietly came and broke open the box. A pound of spikenard. Let that perfume pour upon the blessed head of our Savior. And then she got on her knees and poured that perfume on our Savior's feet. That was the oil. But then she began to think about the things that Jesus had done for her. She remembered what she'd been brought from. And the tears began to flow. That was the water. And the water and the oil mixed together on the feet of Jesus. And I don't know how she had planned it. I imagine she looked around. I don't know. There was nothing available to wipe the feet of Jesus. She took her hair. I want us to experience this together. I got some. Man, this stuff is expensive too. I got some human hair here. I was like, they pay how much for hair? Got some. This isn't even the good kind. I can't afford the good kind. Not unless I can wear it one day. I might have to hook this up. I just want to see what this was like. She had her hair, and I don't know. I just like that ain't gonna stay on there. And I've made this concoction of oil and water, and I have even added a perfume. Smells, yeah. Don't laugh at me. Let's just see here. I don't know. I wonder how effective was the hair. So we just put a little bit of and anointed his feet, and then took the hair and began to wipe the feet. Yeah, that's pretty effective right there. With her hair and with almost everything she owned, she anointed the feet of our Savior. And maybe she didn't have a towel like I have here. And I don't know what her financial situation was, but she brought what she had and it was enough. But why did she do it? The sacrifice was negligible compared to the sacrifice that Jesus had made for her. Because see, the question paradise is not, let me see what I'm going to give God. No, the question is, what has God given for me? I can never repay. And so by his grace, we are faithful and wise servants. Not because of what we can do for him, but because of what he has done for us. Take a minute. No, really, take a minute right now. Sitting in church now, aren't we? Got our tie on. Well, I don't. Got on our suits. How fine we look right now, don't we? Remember, though, what the Lord brought you out of. I see people in here right now for whom Pastor Neary and I prayed while they were in the hospital. I see people for whom God has come through. I am one. God came through for me. What has He done for you? And now thinking about the God who saved you, as I think about the God who saved me, how could we rob that God? How could we? You never end a sermon without giving somebody an opportunity to make a commitment. I said to Pastor Neary, we are going to come to the commitment and then let the Holy Ghost lead and see what it is the Lord tells this preacher to say right now. Pastor.
I'd like to give you an opportunity to express to the Lord a decision, a thank, whatever. I'm going to be very specific. Listen very carefully. If you are a faithful returner of tithe and give an offering, I want you to come forward. Not yet. To show yourself bold to the unfallen worlds, the heavenly host, that you're honoring God. If you're somebody who isn't returning a faithful tithe and giving nothing to the offering or a very little, I invite you to come forward with those I just mentioned to tell the Lord, I want to start being more faithful. So two groups, and we're ready to take you now. Those who are faithful and want to show themselves proudly to the Lord, and those who aren't but would like to make a decision, come up here right now for a special prayer. Come up, all mixed up together. Come on. I don't want you to hesitate. Come forward, crush forward. And I want you to know I'm already up front. Come on, come forward. If we have to go up on the stage, then go up on the stage, please. Let's show ourselves to God without fear, anxiety. Keep coming. I can't imagine, Pastor Ryan, that all of heaven isn't hooping it up right now. I really mean that. Come on, keep coming. Don't be shy. Anybody else want to come up front, all the way up? Come on, all the way up so we can get more people. While you're coming, to God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Oh, Father in heaven, I can't imagine the joy in heaven to see a response from this many people simply because You revealed Yourself in a mighty way to us today. For what You have done for us in the past and in the present. And Lord, these, we're Your people. We're Your children. And we make mistakes and we do things wrong. And selfishness wells up in our heart. But yet You don't throw us away. You don't give up on us. You continue to speak to us in multiple ways. And look at the response today. Amen. Oh Lord, thank You for this. And I want You to bless each person who's come. I want You to reward those who have been faithful all along. And I want you to reward those who are making a decision to begin to or to be more faithful than they are. And then I pray for our finance committee, our church board, and our treasurer, Mark Sells, that we be faithful to use the money according to your will and your standard. And Lord, thank you for the price you paid long ago for us that we could never repay, no longer how much we live, how long we live, and how much we put together in one sum total. So bless each one now in a special way, Lord. Put your arms around each one. And Lord, if there's anybody who hesitated, if there's anyone who's fearful, if there's anyone that's doubting, I want you to send angels and the Holy Spirit to assure them that they're special to you and you need their help as we here at Paradise need their help too. So blessed to this end. And Lord, we won't sing the closing hymn. We'll close right here and now. And may we turn to one another and give a brotherly and sisterly righteous hug. And go from here and continue to follow the conviction that you gave us so it will be sealed in heaven forever. And we will be ready when you come in the clouds of glory. So dismiss us with your presence and bless each one now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.